All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's quickly take the glory of the Lord. Once again, let's read from the book of Jeremiah chapter 10. I'm sure you are used to it. All right, please, we are reading from the New American Standard Bible. We are going to read from verse 6 all the way to verse 16. All right? Now let's read it like we want to give the Lord the glory that's due to his name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, once let's go.
There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether stupid and foolish. In their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of a craftsman and of the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God, is the living God, and the everlasting King. At his wrath the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth we perish from the earth and from under the heavens. 12. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful. There is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like this, for the maker of all is he, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Amen? Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
The portion of Jacob is not like this. He lives forever and ever.
Amen.
His name is eternity.
Amen.
His name is everlasting.
Amen.
He's not just everlasting. Everlasting is him. I hope you're getting my point. When people say sometimes they want to talk about there's no God, I said that concept, I don't know how you can imagine it. Because the brain you are using to think is part of God. Are you getting my point? Yes. The idea that there's something to imagine is what we call God. That's who God is. You know, I found out something the other day. I was preaching somewhere about last Sunday. Just talking about faith. The foundation of faith. Do you know where it is? Genesis chapter 1, yeah. Verse 1. That's the foundation of faith. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Just knowing that what you see around didn't come out of nothing. Like my boy will say, what is the Big Bang? Nothing, nowhere, at no time, for no reason. Suddenly exploded and became everything. That is the height of stupidity. If you can think that is potentially, possibly possible, really you need deliverance. Every time I see the way things work in this earth, the fact that cockroaches run away from light, yeah, that tells me there is God. If there was no God, why would cockroaches run away from light? I hope you're getting what I'm saying. The fact that yam wraps itself around the stem, a stick, so it could keep standing, is proof to me there is God. You can tell me you don't know who he is, so there's no problem with that. Say, I've not met him before. That's fine. Because one day you will meet him. But you know what we know? The faith tells us that one day God came in the likeness of flesh, took on flesh, was born, was given a name, and the name is Jesus. We believe that. And it makes sense. He came unto his own. Who made everything? He's the one that made it. So one day he came unto his own. That's what Christianity is about. Now, this is the truth. Are you a God? There's no problem. Did you make the heavens and the earth? If the answer is no, then one day you will perish. I don't care what your name is. Are you a God? Call yourself any name. Call yourself Buddha, this, that, anything. There's no problem. Did you make the heavens and the earth? If the answer is no, then we know one day you are most certainly going to perish. Not only will you perish physically, which most of them have already, you will even perish from people's imagination. Yeah, you don't know God does that. God wipes out the memories of things. There are nations that existed, and God said, they so annoyed me, nobody will talk about them again. He said, the very memory of them has perished. See, all these gods, we will not remember them one day. You will not remember. You won't get to heaven and say, ha, do you know somebody who used to worship Dagon? You won't remember there was ever a Dagon. But you remember the King of Kings,
yes,
the Lord of Lords,
amen,
the King Eternal,
amen,
because he's the true God. He's the living God and the everlasting King. Father, we give you praise this morning. Lord Jesus, we worship you with the Father. We receive from you insight. We receive from you understanding. Holy Spirit, you have come to lead us into all truth. That's what Jesus said. He said, the Spirit will lead you into all truth. Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to you this morning to receive the truth that the Father has given. For that reason, we declare as follows.
Now I declare that the Lord has given me the Spirit of wisdom
and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 I said amen.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats and get ready to be blessed. I tell you, you are blessed. Amen.
Amen.
You know, anytime I'm driving out in the morning, like this morning, you know, I drive past the exercise headquarters of Enugu. And it's good, oh, please, when I talk like this, don't say, ah, first of all, you don't believe we should exercise. Did I say you don't? I kind of like exercise. I'm not saying I do a lot of it, but I like it. The one I don't like is running up and down. Not because it's wrong, oh, just because it's not my thing. You know what I like? Go and carry metal. Carry it up and down. It's all exercise, amen?
Amen.
So I'm not saying it's bad, it's good. However, the most important exercise is the word of God, amen?
Amen.
People have exercised while jogging, they dropped there and they died. True stories. So the word of God is more effective, that's what I'm saying. So this morning as I was coming, I said, good, I'm going to hear the word. Yes, and I'm going to teach the word. You know, I hope you know I also hear the word too. I also hear it. I hope you understand that. Don't think everything I say here is something I knew and I planned. No, I also learn. Please, if you have not listened to our message on those two messages on, what are the titles now? Let me try and get the titles out. I don't know them by heart. The last two we did in School of Prayer on intercession. Prayer Basics 1 to 9. So it's 8 and 9. Those are the two I'm specifically talking about. 8 and 9. Number 9 is titled The Intercessor's Call and the Watchman's Anointing. Please listen to that. And then number 8 is titled Intercession, the Primary Assignment for All Believers. Please listen to the messages. My wife's life has not been the same since those messages were preached. I just use that one to explain the fact that I also get blessed. My own life too has changed since I preached those two messages. And I didn't come here planning to change my life. I came to teach the word. When I finished teaching the word, I was changed. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah, I finished teaching the word and I was changed, really. Like I said, I just feel like repeating it before we get into today's message. Of course, we said many things, of course. Both messages combined, they're up to 4 hours, both of them. Please make sure you listen to them. And I was saying something, like I said, there are many things we said in that series. I just want to highlight something briefly for a minute. And that's there, I explained that the primary assignment, and I won't teach it now, go and listen to it. Every Christian has a primary assignment. Go and find out if you were not there, all right? But one thing that distinguishes Christian businesses from non-Christian businesses, no matter what you are doing, a Christian career, whatever it is, one thing that distinguishes it from the one that's not a Christian one is that for the believer, that thing is primarily what? a mission. What did I say? It's primarily a mission. No matter what you are doing, even if you are running a construction company or you are running a private hospital, whatever it is, it's primarily a mission. You are a lawyer. It's primarily a mission. You cook food and people come there to buy and eat. It's primarily a mission. You bake bread and you sell. It's primarily a mission. And because it is a mission, the first thing you do is what? Pray. Not so that the business will succeed. And I know you'll do that. But I mean that the job is to pray. And that's what marks it out, that it is powered by prayer. And I said, if you are not praying, you are walking by your own flesh. You are trusting in the arm of your own flesh. If prayer is not the primary thing in your heart in anything you want to do, you want to go and preach, you don't take time out to ask God for a word and ask Him to speak through you and ask Him to open the ears of those that are listening to you and ask Him to touch them by His Spirit, then you are going there to use human brain. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah, that's what you're planning to do. You plan to use human intellect, not a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul said, I did not come to you with the excellency of man's wisdom. And a sign that you are going, not in that man's wisdom preparation, is that you ask God for a word. You trust Him to speak through you. One mistake we make as Christians is that we think that thing is only for preachers. Do you know? I remember those days. I'm going into class. I could tell, you know, this life is very interesting. This life is full of spirits. I hope you get my point. The number of spirits operating on this earth, there are many. We can group them. There's good one, there's bad one, and there are these spirits that you don't know whether they are good or bad. They are only just be active, and that makes them bad. Just wake up in the morning for no reason. Someone just blocked the road. You are hurrying, you know. Supposed to be in the office by 8. You left your house on time. It's 30 minutes drive. You left your house at 7:20. And one tanker man decides he wants to discharge water. And he blocks your road. And you are there, you are honing. He can't even hear you because the noise from the machine is worse than all the horn you can have in life. And then he comes out, finally sees you. And what he says? Oh, God, okay, sorry. You know, you're like, did you just say sorry? Then you now start getting angry because you're looking at your time. You've been looking for the last 5 minutes. Now, where I'm going is this. Somebody does that to you in the morning. No, you're already boiling. Now, let me just tell you. That's where I'm going. It's a spirit. That's it. I will kill your joy today. That office you are going, you won't prosper there. Don't think it's the tanker man. Now, what I want to tell you, I've not been able to do it too much. But do it. Do as I say. I will try my best to obey what I'm saying, but don't say Pastor Mark doesn't do it. No, do it is the word of God. Even Jesus said it. He said, you see the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in the seat of Moses. Right now, I'm sitting in the seat of Jesus Christ. So just listen to me. Do as they say and not as they do. Don't catch me tomorrow doing something. Pastor, this is not what you said. We're both trying to obey the word of God. Don't think I'm a senior obeyer. We're on the same level. I'm just the one. You don't know judges break the law. They're not looking at night. The guy passed red light. The Lord is good. So, this is what you're supposed to do. Just sit down there and be whistling. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And the guy says, oh, God, sorry. I say, it's all right. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. No problem. Please just move your tank out of the way. I have to get to work. Please. It's okay. All things work together for good. Hallelujah. Don't do what I would do normally. Just do this one that I have said. This one God said you should do. Educate him if you can. Say, boss, it's not good like this. You know, some of us are in a hurry, you know. If you can calm your spirit like that, God will bless you extra. And I've been praying to God to give him that kind of calm spirit. Now, what I'm going to say, don't think it's a joke. That is a spirit. They are all over the place. They are all over the place. This life is a contest of spirits up and down. Spirits up and down. God is injecting the right spirit through you. Don't forget it. What did I say?
God is injecting the right spirit through you.
Good. He got it right. Through me. That's what the Lord is doing. He's injecting the right spirit into the earth. Through you. Okay? Now, I went to that time to say something. The difference between what other people do and what Christians do is that for us, everything is a mission. So that's why we have to pray. Because this spirit thing, that's why I'm saying it. There's spirits everywhere. You have to pray. Even what you are doing is setting up. Pray. Before you start cooking it, pray over it. When you finish, before you take it out to the place where you are going to sell, pray. Bless those who will buy from you. In this life, you don't succeed because you have energy. No, God has to help you. That's the thing about prayer. God has to help you. Anytime you're praying, you are saying that, Lord, I recognize that in this battle of spirits, I'm a winner because I'm with the Father of all spirits. The Father of all spirits is on my side. The Holy Spirit is with me. Greater is the spirit that is in me and the spirit that is in the world. That's what it is. Don't ever, look, like I said, God didn't send you to go and make money. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Making money is a gift. The amount of money you make in life is not proportional to the amount of effort you put in. You know now?
Yes.
There are those that all they do half of the time is file their nails in the office and check their status. Go and see their salary at the end of the month. Half of the time, half. The other time they are working, they just reply two emails, give one or two speeches, write one report, which I've been writing for a long time. Most of the reports you write is free of charge. Nobody gives anything for it. Ah, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all you get. I'm just writing one or two reports, interview two or three people. The rest of the time, they file their nails, check their status, post something on Instagram. Some people can post, not, just by the way. But if you have always posting your face on Instagram, something's wrong with you. There are people I see, well, I don't know them. I don't do Instagram. You know, I'm married. My wife knows some people. Every time. I'm telling you, like, there's one particular woman she knows. One day my wife got worried. Is everything okay? If you go to Instagram account, if there are 200 posts, 201 is of her. Okay. 199. The other one is of her and somebody. If she's, you know, some people, when they are eating food, they will photograph the food, put it for you. No, she will photograph her face chewing. You won't even see the food. Then, wow. If you are like that, you need to pray for deliverance. All right? And as you are hearing this word this morning, you are delivered in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's what they call being narcissistic. Did I say it well?
Yes,
who knows English well? No, all those yes are people from Anambra. I'm not talking to you. I want people who speak English properly. The Lord is good. If Charles Rudo catches me, the Lord is good. I just think life is about you. The Lord is good. Now, that's just an aside. So, one reason is that you see a lot of people, it's not like they work more than you work. No. God, I just said, let me give them something. So, if you want something in life, what did I say before? Ask the Lord for it. Ask the Lord for it. God gives you in accordance to what you can receive. And it's not to go, I can receive this. No. Build yourself to be able to receive something. But that day, you know, I sit down and just do what they call thought experiments. I said, God, if God just says he'll give me $10 million every month now, what will I do? I'll tell him, don't try. You hear what I say? I say, Lord, please, no, don't spoil my ministry. Pastor Frank, you don't want $10 million a month? No, it's hard to go mad. Seriously, some people don't like what I'm saying. So you won't receive it, I will not. Why? I'm not ready. Do I look like a $10 to you? What am I going to do with it? Say, you share it. Okay, I'll not leave my ministry. I'll not become a sharer of money. So when you come here in the morning now, people won't come to hear the word. They came to do what? To collect. My anointing will not disappear. God will not be angry with me. Can you see? However, there's a level you'll be in life. Not just because of development, but because of the kind of activity you are in that is necessary. If God brings you, you jump at it with all hands and all feet and all arms and all legs to collect. Why? You need it. What I'm just trying to say is that grow in life, raise your faith, not just because of desire, but because of many activities. And in proportion to what you can receive, God will give you. That's how you receive things in life. It's not because of plenty activity, no much hard labor. What I'm saying so is that remember, everything you are doing as a believer is a mission. Everything. is a mission. It's not you are not on a mission to go and collect as much money as possible. That's not a mission. Every Christian mission is a giving mission. Do you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Everything is what?
Giving.
Yeah. It's not. I'm not saying that people don't. When I say giving, I don't mean money giving. That's not what I mean. What I mean is anything you are doing, you're focusing on what can I give? What am I pouring out? Like we said, your life is a life of what? Sacrifice. All of us, we Christians, were born to be sacrificed. We're giving life as an offering to God. Yeah, that's the way life is. I'm going to continue from that point, all right? Okay? Good. I'm happy I said that. That will help me connect now with today's message, all right? I'm just trying to, you know, introduce the message for today. But now that I made that statement, because I remember I said it last time, so it would be a good place to pick up from. We're giving life so it can be sacrificed. Now, we're back to our message now. Faith foundations for a Christian walk. Thank you. Now, last time I was explaining that people miss the aim of faith. We think faith is meant for collecting. No, faith is not meant for collecting. The thing about faith is that it helps the word of God. It allows, that's a better word, the word of God become real in our lives. Without faith, what God has spoken will not become real in your life. That's what faith does. It's not that you manufacture a desire and by faith you say, God, you must fulfill it. That's not what faith is. You don't go manufacture a desire and say, God, oh, this you will do for me. You go and draw one fantastic house on the wall. This is where I want to live. And they say, if you focus on it and you look at it and you look at it intently, then you keep looking at it. And then when it becomes real in your heart, then it will become real on the earth. It's possible it works. I read a book like that. You know, actually, I went to collect the book, thinking it was a Christian book. After reading a few lines, I realized that this was pure New Age thought. It wasn't Christian at all. You want to know what is Christian? Anything that does not glorify the Lord Jesus Christ is not Christian. I hope you're getting my point. Okay? I read it. This was just about how to get your desires met. One woman, she said that, that's one example I saw in there. She said, if you see yourself married, you'll be married. So the woman saw herself married. She was not married. So she called the author. Or the people teaching them, all the coaches and New Age people. It hasn't happened though. This is 6 months after we began practicing it. Ah, they say, are you really seeing it? She said, yes. She said, how many people do you make breakfast for? I said, what do you mean? Only me. Ah, you're not seeing it though. You will make breakfast for two. Thank you. I thought you will soon get spirit husband. So, the woman began to make breakfast for two and got extra pillows for the bed. Basically, her husband is supposed to park into that house, I assume. I don't know. That's part of what you are seeing, you don't know. According to the book, within the next 3 months, she was married. He said she saw it properly. I just flung the book in my friend, get away. I want to teach me Hinduism here. Does it work? I don't care. Does it work? I don't care. God should give me what I can't imagine. It's only the one I can imagine. Is that not your Bible?
Yes, sir.
It's able to do abundantly far above what we can ask or think. Let's leave that in. Christian, a lot of it was brought into Christianity. It's nothing but New Age movement. This idea of just focus on something material is not Christianity. Adam didn't focus on Eve. They didn't know what Eve was. Thank you. Now sleep, the guy is asleep. Adam didn't focus on Eve. Adam did not focus on Eve at all. Faith is about bringing the will of God to pass in your life. Now you go and manufacture a desire, you focus on it until it comes to pass. I'm not saying it doesn't come to, that doesn't work. I'm not saying that, please. But I don't believe in this doctrine of it works, it works. It works is not what validates what is right. Ah, if you rig election, does it not work? If you bribe a judge, does it not work? Does it make it right? I believe that you're getting results. I don't, look, is it in line with scripture? Because what you call results, let's know. Because along the line, God helping me, I will teach on dying by faith. I wrote it down somewhere. Dying by faith. Because there are people who died. Why? Because of faith. If you you know, one problem is that we don't read the Bible enough. If you read the Bible well, some things will almost scare you. In fact, there are things I read in the Bible, I look at God, please. Excuse me, what did you and Ezekiel, what were you planning? Because don't do this to me. Ezekiel will wake up in the morning, and God is telling that, okay, today, I'm going to take the wife of your youth. You're looking like, why? God will remove somebody's wife, remove the children, and say, don't cry. Meanwhile, we have an Igbo proverb, say you can beat a child, but you can't tell the child not to cry. Even though I do it, okay? I think I behave like God. He does something. No, people died by faith. They offered them deliverance. They said, no, we'll go for a better resurrection. So they died by faith. It's in the Bible. There's dying by faith. There's leaving everything you have behind by faith. And in that process, what the Bible says you are looking for? You are looking for something you have not seen, but which you know is there, is better. A city whose builder, whose architect and builder is God. You know what that means? When they say the architect and builder is God, you don't know what it looks like. You don't know what he designed. You can't conceptualize it. He just says to you, follow me. So faith is not that I focused on something. No, in Christian faith, we focus on God, that's all. We focus on the word of God, that's all. And whatever he has written becomes real in our lives. That's what Christian faith is about. Let's bear it in mind. So God gave us life, I was saying, so that we'll have something to offer to him. It's the way God works. If he wants you to give him something, you know the first thing he does? He gives it to you. Go through scripture. See, anything he didn't give you, he doesn't accept as a sacrifice. He will give you first. Then he says, okay, give me that thing. When he called Abraham, it was, you know, if you go, let's just read this. Hebrews chapter 10, quickly. God helping me, I'm continuing from where we stopped last time. Now, for time's sake, I won't read everything, but I just want to get, let's just read from, okay, I'll read from verse 1, but I'll slow down in verse 4. I'll read from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 10. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make perfect those who draw near. Now, verse 3. He said, but in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. I jumped one verse there. Now, verse 4. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Now, notice, let me stop. So you see, God has a problem, in quote. Now, he gave them sacrifices. It could not take away sins. They offered the sacrifices year by year. It's not taking away sins. So there's a problem here now. So how do we solve it? God himself said, this is how I'm going to solve it. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired. Jesus was speaking. But a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have taken no pleasure. He was talking about the animal sacrifices. He said, then I said, behold, he said, in the scroll of the book is written of me, I have come to do your will, O God. So he said, after saying above, sacrifice and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered. So you see, he was talking about those animal sacrifices, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. What did he do? He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will that he came to do, we have been sanctified through the offering of what? Sanctified through what? The offering of what? The body of Jesus Christ once for all. What does that tell you? God needed a real offering. So he prepared the offering. Jesus said, a body you have prepared for me. That when I read in verse 10, that he said, I come to do your will. What is that will? The will is the sanctification of his children through the offering of that body that he prepared. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, anything God gives you in life is preparing you to offer it up. Yeah. And when I say offer it up now, as a Christian, it's not just once, kill it, let it go. He said, present it as what? A living sacrifice. The best example for how we are to live is taken from the life of Hannah, of course, and her husband, of course, and the son, Samuel. Samuel was not killed and burnt like God said Isaac should be done. You understand? But he was given as what? A living sacrifice. So as a three-year-old boy, the mother took him to the temple, to the tabernacle, to go and start serving God. So God didn't give you children for your own sake. He gave you children to have something to what? Offer. And there's a lesson in it for all of us. You are giving children to offer. You are giving children. I've told my, in fact, during that COVID period, we had time to pray plenty in the house. That lockdown. That's when I told my children, look, all of you have been offered. You are an offering. In Jesus' name, you will never do well in life if you don't serve God. Doesn't look like a good prayer, but it's the only way I can pray so that God will accept your sacrifice and my own. You don't have my blessing if you want to run away from God. Lie, lie. You want to run away from God? See you in hospital. I ain't joking, no. Think I'm kidding? I'll come and see where your legs are hung up. Then we'll continue from there. It's not wickedness, boys. It's love. Some people, why do you say that kind of thing? What do you want me to say? You think I'd rather go and rescue children from rehabilitation centers? Because when Ichabod bought from their life, you know what I mean? When the glory departs, do you know what comes in? I have children possessed by evil spirits that can't wake up in the morning without a whiff of wee-wee in their nose. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit has departed. I'd rather you be filled with the Spirit than you be calling us from the jungle where you are walking. How are you people doing? Ah, Daddy, we are fine. Last week we baptized two terrorists. One of them is worse than Paul. Right now, he's on fire for the Lord. Said, the Lord be with you. Some will say, call him to come back home. Those places are dangerous. I said, if I come back home, if he comes back home, you will now see danger. You know what they said? Danger is that safety is not the absence of danger. It is what? The presence of God. It's not the absence of danger. It's where is God there? That's the question. Is God there with you? See, if you are looking for safety in this world, Father God, I thank you for the news. They can scare us, but they also teach us faith. Now, this is what I mean. Those are brothers always calling home. He said, are you guys okay? Are you guys okay? Do you know, as I last week, my wife started praying for those in America, that they will be okay. I told her, I said, well, maybe just like they always hear bad news about us. Maybe that's what's happening now. Because anytime I open BBC, I get my international news from BBC. Okay, I read it every day. The kind of things that I see, my wife will like, my wife asked a question the other day. Don't laugh at her. You don't blame her. She said, please, my husband, I want to ask. These are guns. Does it kill people? I said, what do you mean? He said, because you keep them, and they shot them, and they shot them. I'm like, are they acting movie? Is it Vine Network? Vine Nation, sorry. Are they up to something else? I started laughing. She said, no, because the way you've been saying it, it's as if these people are just joking. Pa, 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 pa. I said, no, they buried the people they shot. No, if you hear what's happened last 1 week, if they give you American visa, you run. Oh, you've been reading it. In like 2 days, funny news. A young boy went to collect his younger brothers. 16-year-old boy. Father gave him motor. Your twin brothers went to play in their friend's house. This is the address. Go and bring them back. The young man missed the address. Assuming they said this is Ellen Plaza, right? Assuming they say, okay, go to number 12, Ellen Plaza. The boy went to number 12, Ellen Estate. Yeah, that's what he did. He stood there, rang the bell. The old man fired two shots, one into his head, one into his hand. He didn't do anything. No. He packed, rang the bell. The 84-year-old white man answered him with gunshots. Then I remember that once, about a few years ago, I went to the U.S. I was talking to my friend. He said, Banky, I don't go to anybody's houses. He said, I don't want to get shot in the face. Wow. I thought it was like exaggerating. So my wife's like, what? That happened? I said, let me tell you another one that happened like the next day. Four people were in the vehicle. They were going also for a party. That one went to recover children. By the way, that boy didn't die. And the doctor said they are amazed. He said, how he survived, they don't understand. That this is what the American doctor said, that we don't know how this guy survived. He was shot in the head. The old man said, he felt threatened. They said, how will ringing your bell threaten you? Now, so they have referred to the matter that, no, they should investigate it as a hate crime. That means because the boy is black. Because he rang the bell. That's all. And he said he felt threatened. The other one, this one's the 11 white people. They are going for a party. They miss the street. Maybe they're supposed to go to the next street, the next block. They went to the wrong house. They drove into the driveway. They say, oh, it's the wrong house. Let them reverse. The owner of the house shot them. And killed the girl in front. That's why my wife said that, no, this shooting you are saying, does it kill people? Because she couldn't understand that. Is that how you kill people? I said, I never give you this finish. She said, what? Two girls were in the mall, coming out. You know the way cars look? There's one car here that looks like mine. Please, all of you, look at the number before they shoot you, because there's one car downstairs, it's the same color as mine. The same color, the same make. The only difference is that, the front, the grill is slightly different, because it's a year newer than mine. So if you're coming from the side, you know, go see them. So this girl didn't see it too. She just went there, yanked the door open, think it's their car. Oh, sorry, it's not our car. And she didn't do anything more than that. So she went to the other car where they parked. They were close to each other. It was a mistake. You know, the car came, shot them. I will finish all the stories today. All of this I'm telling you in 3 days, 2 or 3 days. Small girl and papa, they play ball. Ball jump inside neighbor compound. Small girl, 6 ml, pick him. The guy shot her, shot the mother, shot the father. 6 year old girl. Say, God spirit, thank you. The guy shot the girl, shot the mother, shot the father. Good enough. None of these other ones. Two are critically injured. I don't know about now whether anybody has died as of now. So that's why my wife said, please excuse me, my husband, this one you are saying, please. Is this gone? Is it a toy gone? Or? You know, she started praying. You know, good enough, we have talked about intercession. Now my wife turned out to pray. Pray for all friends and relatives in America. That the way people are shooting. Now, why am I saying all of this? So if somebody tells you, there's danger everywhere. There's danger everywhere. In fact, what I was trying to say is that don't think you are being kept safe because you are in a safe area. That's why actually why I went into that. That's the thing I wanted to make. Don't for a moment think you have been kept because you're in a safe area. God has been showing you mercy. I don't even have a shred of doubt in my heart that I've been saved many times. A few times, God has allowed me to see it. A few times, He has allowed me to see the salvation. Today, I was in Lagos. I was going to church. I was going to travel. So I'm going to take a vehicle from Yaba. And church was near Yaba. So I booked some tapes. Let me rush to church and get my tapes. I had my bag. In front of church is a dual carriage, if you know. Yes. That road. One side is one lane. Normal dual carriage. Go this way. But one side has been converted to two-way to manage traffic. Of course, normal dual carriage road is a heavy concrete divide in the center. I didn't remember. In trying to cross the road, I just walked. I looked one direction and walked straight into the path of a speeding bus. The driver hit his brake. He swerved. You know, the conductor, you know, normal, you know, Lagos conductor, this one couldn't talk. His jaw dropped. Like, is this guy suicidal? I wasn't suicidal. I did not know what was going on. I forgot that was two-way. And that was not the first time in my life. The first one that I remember happened when I was young. Just finished the entire sports in school. Just coming back home. I dropped from a bus. I don't know what was in my small mind. Because I saw my neighbors, no friends. They were all, you know, the way it is. My school was a big school, the mission school. So the activity on the road that day was plenty. People were going up and down that road, led straight to our school. So they just stood outside and they were watching people go up and down. So when I came down, I saw them. And I think they saw me. So in the excitement of seeing my friends and neighbors, I dashed into the road. And that bus whisked past like this. Phew! That is, I was going so fast, I couldn't even stop. I still finished crossing. They started shouting. What is the problem? That's my mates, and they were upstairs. What's chasing you? I told them, shut up, because my mother was downstairs. She couldn't see above the fence. She and my their own mother, they were standing in front of the house, downstairs, just, you know, just talking. So they, as I came into the compound, what is wrong with you? What was chasing you? Why did you have to run like that? I said, shh. Don't let my mother kill me, the one the boss did not kill. No, really, that thing I've realized though. I can keep telling you story after story, but let's not waste our time. If you are alive today, it's not because you chose a place where there is no danger. Yes. One small girl went to America, sent her father a message. America is so nice, it's so quiet, it's not like Argentina, it's very safe. She came from Argentina. She sent a message today, 2 days later she was dead. I don't think it was 2 days, maybe the following day. But shortly after she was dead. You know what happened? A crazy guy came to attack somebody in a shop where she and her mother were shopping. The guy had a chain and a padlock and he was beating somebody. So they called police. Police came, shot that guy. Bullet bounced off the floor. Went into the cubicle where she and her mother were hiding. Her mother didn't even know she was dead. They didn't shoot at her. They were shooting at a crazy man who was attacking people. Put down your weapon. Put down. Everybody, you know, begin crouch. She and her mother were in the, what they call, the fitting room, changing clothes. So they hid there. So her mother held her. So they crouched down there. Police shot at that fellow. One of the bullets bounced on the floor, penetrated the wall of that cubicle, passed through the girl, killed her. The mother didn't even know she was dead. She had just sent to her father. Ah, that place is so nice, very, very safe. It's not like home. He came from South America. Dad said, okay. Dad went there, God signed it. Few days after that message he sent to her father, she was dead. So in life, now I went to all of that, you know, trying to say that, look, Helen Keller, if you remember the story of Helen Keller. Helen Keller said, those who run away from danger ultimately are not safer than those who face it head on. That's why Stonewall Jackson said, I'm as safe on the battlefield as I am in my bedroom if I'm the will of God. So the will of God is where safety is. Like I said the other day, was it here I was teaching? I can't even remember where now. Yeah, I think it was here. That never look. Don't adjust your life because something you desire. If you desire something, what do? You pray. Your adjustment must be to align with God's will. Not if I move from this company to the other one, I'll get more money. No. I said we are supposed to do two things. Learn, serve. Those must be the two things pursuing you. Learn and serve. Where can I be more effective? Not just running up and down because of money. God will bless you with money. If you want money, just ask God for it. Just, Lord, please, give me money. Why? I need 4 rooms, you know. The children, they are growing. Then I need a room for guests. I need to be comfortable. I want a place where I can stay and do my work without... Nothing wrong with that. Ask directly for it. So that's, I was saying something earlier. So I can't call a son of mine that's working somewhere, having effect in ministry, that come back to where it is safer just because I'm afraid of danger. See, let me tell you something I fear the most in life is God. I fear God more than serpent. Fear God more than Boko Haram. I'm telling you the truth. I don't want him to come to me one day and say, Banky, was this where I kept you? Or he goes to where he kept me and say, Banky, where are you? He say, oh, God, where you kept me is dangerous. I've come to stay with Okemude and Chooks, where things are safer. You know what the Bible says? You see, you can't preserve your life. You just say, you know what the Bible says about God? He said, when he withdraws his spirit, that's when they expire. So if he has not withdrawn his spirit from you, wherever you are, you will not expire. It's a prayer I actually pray to God all the time. That it should help me realize this fact. That they can put a gun dead in your head like this and put the trigger. And God says, it's not time to expire. Was that not what they did to Malala Yousuf? An Islamist put a gun to the girl's head and shot. The girl survived, won a Nobel Prize after that. They said she was causing trouble in Pakistan. She was on a school bus. The man got there, put a gun to her head and fired. Do you know the girl survived? He's still giving lecture all over the world. This little boy, I told you, rang a wrong bell, 16. And the 84-year-old man shot him in the face. The doctors are amazed that the boy is alive. No, you can read up. The story just happened a few days ago, so it's not something you have to search long to find. What I'm bringing out from it is that the doctors said they are amazed that he's alive. Yet, he's fine. The American president has spoken to him on the phone, inviting him to the White House, that when you fully recover, come to the White House, let's gist. I'm telling you, the point. Of course, they had to operate, they had to do things. But the guy is talking, he talked to the president. Why? God did not withdraw his spirit. God says, simply, it's not yet time to die. It's not yet time to die. There are people that they just fire gun into the air. They die of heart attack. The bullet didn't touch them. Yet. It's a prayer I pray all the time that God, please, help me to know this thing. Help me to be fully aware of it. Help me to be very conscious of it. To know that safety is not the absence of physical danger. That I'm safe wherever you keep me, wherever you are with me. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shield at your right hand. That's what I want to know, Lord. Please. The other day went to vote. Things like that just make you realize. You know, when we're approaching the voting place, I was driving. So one soldier stopped us without their big truck. So we wound down. He told us that, sorry, we can't go near. We should park near where they were. Find a place here to park and walk to Opera Square. So we parked there. So I told my wife put her bag in the car for safekeeping. You know what we did not realize? When I wound up for the soldier, I forgot to wind back up. You know, because my glass is tinted, I know the rule. Once you approach the security people, if your glass is tinted, you put it down. It's good. You know, just that's the rule anyway. But I don't even wait there for them to ask. Once I approach a security checkpoint, I put down the tool on their side so they can see into the vehicle. While I was winding back up, I forgot that I wound up the one behind me. So I wound up mine, parked the car nicely with one glass fully down, and her back very visible. No, like, steal me. Any thief going around? Of course, we came back. The bag was there. And I thanked the other one that my wife did. She wanted to put something in her car, put her phone on the bonnet, and took off. I was driving. She drove. I was like, where is this phone? But because the phone was close by, I think it was connected to the car's Bluetooth. She was just, where is this phone? How did you say you found it again? The thing was outside on the bonnet. In fact, the one that happened once, you know, Israel, if you remember. So, that was our former venue. Of course, we were there on top floor. I came down, put my phone and something I was holding right on the door, on top of the car, on top. Locked the car and walked up to go and preach. The Holy Spirit just said, now go and collect your phone. He didn't say it like that, though. I just told Israel, I said, I'm not sure I locked my car. I said, there's no need, I think I locked it. He just said, no, let's just be sure. So he collected the key or gave to somebody and they went downstairs to go and lock the car. Let's see my phone posed like this. Right on top. I said, no, today's not a stealing day. Of course, you know things like, now please, don't take those things for granted though. They are not accidents. Just an angel just put a hand on top of it. And sent another angel upstairs and tell that black guy to come and collect his phone. And that's why I think that anytime I'm waiting for God to speak to me, he doesn't always speak like that. You know, some like, you know, see Christians get hung up on this, the Lord speak. See, he doesn't always speak that way. There are different ways he speaks. Let's get that one clear. There are different ways. That day, was it God that spoke to us? Yes, as far as I was concerned. But what did he say? Or how did I hear it? I just had this feeling in me. I didn't lock that car, even though it was locked. And I said, I think I locked it. Israel just said, no. Let's be sure. So he took the keys, gave to somebody. The person went downstairs and said, and came back with my phone. Man of God, here's your phone. When he approached, now what I'm saying, the angel took his hand off, kept his hand on it all the while, all the bad people didn't see it. That's the way I understand it. Really? And that's, so you say God spoke to you to go and collect your phone. Yes. How do I know read your Bible well? When God wanted to send, let's take a number of experiences. One, Saul. When God wanted to send, he said, I told you I will send him to you. When he wanted to send, what happened? Donkeys got missing. And they went to go and look for the donkeys. And then he got frustrated. But they, in looking for the donkeys, they headed in the direction of where Samuel was coming to. Say, let us go. Ah, they now said, no, there's a seer here. It was his servant that told him there's a seer. Let's go and meet the seer. So as they approached Samuel, God said to Samuel, yeah, that's the guy I said I'll send to you. Saul didn't hear a word. That's why I tell my wife, she'll be saying, I say, okay, you know what happened? God said, okay, let me give you one nice guy, man of God, handsome, dishy guy like this to marry. So my wife looked at God and said, are you serious? Say, yeah. I said, come, let me introduce you to him. Then she came. She felt that, no. You know what he heard? Go and ask that man the question. There are three questions you want answers to. He's a man of God. He knows the answer. But that's what she was thinking. Well, God said, let me go and introduce you to somebody. So her father brought her by the hand, who happens to be my father also. Said, Banky, arise, kill and eat. And of course, no, say, I mean, I'm telling you, I just received that with thanksgiving. I'm a man of God, man. Why waste time? And it's the business of the Lord. Don't be slack. Now, the point I'm making is that, see, God doesn't always speak the way we think he must whisper. Do you know what I found out? 9 out of 10 of those whisperations people say they hear. It's not God. 9 out of 10 on the average. Actually, it's more than that, but I just want to make it easy to say. So God leads different. Now, please, that's just an aside. So you see, safety is not because you located a safe place. Safety is that you are covered by the shadow of the Almighty. Back to where we began that from. So we're given life to have something to offer. Faith is what helps us offer. You can't offer except you have faith. If you see the life of Abraham, we were saying the other day, and we said it many times, of course, that God taught him faith. Why? So he will be able to offer Isaac. Many times, and you have to understand, you must know where God says to offer. What I'm going to say is this. Now, please, don't tie directly quality of offering directly to the place of offering. What I mean is this. It's God that chooses the offering. He's the one that chooses where you will offer it. So in the case of Abraham, God trained him for 60 years, thereabout, and then he told him, now, you will take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and then like Pastor Kim, they were teaching you yesterday, God said, let there be no mistake. So he described the guy 4 ways. Your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. So you can't mistakenly go and retrieve Ishmael. You can't take a servant's son in the house. They've described him well for you. He now said, take him to Mount Moriah. I will show you where you will offer him up. Now, that's important. Very important. Why am I saying so? You read the newspapers. There is this Nigerian physicist and Nigerian engineer working for NASA. There is this Nigerian automobile designer from Sokoto working from, is it Ford? One of those big American companies. Eh? Okay, Chevrolet. Thank you. Working for Chevrolet. Ah, so they put it on the cover of a magazine. They put you here and there. And you right now, you are doing a PhD in engineering and applied physics. So people have said, look, this is where you should be in NASA. You go and design for Tesla. God says, Shay, I'm the one building you up, right? When you finish your PhD in applied something, you are going to go back home. There is one university that just started. Take a job there as a lecturer too. You know what that means? You ain't showing up on the cover of any magazine. Because you are one of the many engineering and physics lecturers they have in the country. But God said, that's where I want you offered. Please, you know, I always do aside. This is an aside. Don't covet publicity. You know, I was watching a small analysis the other day. They said most of the people they put on Forbes cover, 30 under 30, they either go broke or they go to jail. In fact, they call it, is it the Forbes curse? There's one thing in the financial market, they call it, is it the Forbes curse, Forbes cover curse, that if your magazine shows up on the cover of Forbes, you are dead. Aaron was there. Aaron died. So they've seen it that once you show up on the cover of Forbes, you are in something that is all the spirits of this world, they've come on you. Yeah, I'm telling you, go and Google all these things. So don't look for publicity. Don't worry about it. Don't feel inferior. You have to learn to be offered where God wants you to be offered. God can tell you, oh boy, have you heard? Yes, sir. Go home. This is the job I've opened for you. He knows what he's doing. From there, he knows what he's doing. He's funneling young men and women to you to influence. Your life was never about physics or engineering. Your life was about influencing young people. Maybe, I'm just saying maybe. He will say, okay, if you stay here, this boy won't join a cult. This one will not smoke. This one was going to kill his mother. But if you teach him for just 1 year, he's going to become an evangelist. Then people will now tell you that, of course, to make it worse, when you were doing the PhD, you were two from Nigeria. One of them has gone to MIT or gone to CIT. That's California Institute. You know, they has gone there. And that's where men win Nobel Prizes. You've gone back home, and the first house you stayed in is in my neighborhood, and they vandalized your transformer. So they say, Oga Physics, go and design, repair for my transformer. And then this is the point. The world, led by your family, this is what they will tell you. You are just wasting away. Once you hear you are wasting away, lift up your hands and worship. Because true sacrifice always looks like waste. It will look like waste. Oh, it will look like waste. True sacrifice looks like waste. You know, I pray we learn how to understand the Bible. True sacrifice looks like waste. You know, when Jacob was going out, you know, he made a promise to God. God, if you'll be with me and everything. He said, whatever you give me, I'll give you 10%. Do you remember that? Many people have used that to preach tithing, all right? Now, for your information, that is a wrong thing to use to preach tithe. Do you know why? You cannot promise God what already belongs to him. And that thing I've said was stated clearly in black and white in scripture. Yeah. If this belongs to God, you can't promise it to him. You just give him. You have not done anything. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay? Now, but that's just an aside. I wrote that in one of my books, just trying to explain some things to people. Now, where I'm going about waste is that, do you know, Jacob became very wealthy. You know, he had a lot of sheep. He had them in abundance. He became richer than Laban when he was living. He had enough to give to Esau in abundance. Esau rejected them and gave them back to him. Now, have you ever asked yourself how he gave that? Did he fulfill his vow? Now, no cash. Do you think he fulfilled his vow? Yes. Looking at the life, the kind of person he was. Do you think he must have fulfilled his vow? Okay. I believe he did. Even though the Bible didn't tell us exactly when he did. But I have no doubt in my mind that he did. But how did he fulfill it? What was the procedure of fulfilling that vow? It would surprise many people. He was going to take... Look, there were no priests for you to go and offer it to. There was no priesthood. What he did, listen to this, was that he took a tenth of his flock, slaughtered them, put ash wood on them, burnt them to ashes. Whole burnt offerings. That's what he made them. Anybody passing would have thought he was mental. Anybody passing would have thought that Jacob was mental. Imagine, I don't know how many, as many, he had 100,000 sheep. You took 10,000 over a week. All what your men were doing was cutting the throat. Cutting the throat. And when they would be done, they put them on altars, light a fire. Burn to ashes. How many do you do today? 1,000. Tomorrow we'll do another 1,000. Yeah. He said, why are we doing this? Because I promised God I'll give him 10% of everything he gives me. What I mean is, true sacrifice can appear wasteful. It can appear wasteful. it can appear wasteful. Like what? Which also happened when that woman with the alabaster box came to Jesus Christ. Huh? Now, let me tell you the value of the perfume. If you give me that kind of perfume, my wife will say that, tono, tono. If you grew up in Delta, you know what's tono, tono. You know what's tono, tono? Small, small. You're going to use it on small, small. You drink tinkele, according to my wife, and keep the rest. Give me that kind of perfume. 5 years later, I'm still using it. Ah, still there. Still there now. I'll even tell my wife, say, it's masculine, so don't use it. Say, this one is masculine. Stop, don't smell like a man. That shall not wear a man's clothing. It's my perfume for me. Yeah, I know. If I was the one, that's what I would do. But this woman, you know what she did? She broke the thing and poured everything on Jesus at a time. You know what he said? I don't know that she has prepared his body for burial, which is not a lie. You know, it was actually literal. Soaked the clothes. Because those things had very strong, this thing. Was on his body till they buried him. But where I'm going is that, see, if you don't know the value in today's naira, that thing in today's naira will be about 1.something million naira for a bottle. Yeah, about that. Something between, my own estimate now, it was worth 300 denarii, which was basically a worker's earning for a year. So just think about it. Every Deborah going to work, earning like 3 to 4,000 naira in the day, multiplied by 300, 1.2 million. Abba. You know, if you're a pastor, you're like, madam, just bring the money. And that's a Judas spirit. Just bring the money. That's what Judas said. Yes. Bring the money. Then we can use it properly for the ministry. There are times, you know, people. Now, again, an aside. Don't plan too much. It's good to plan, but occasionally, don't tell the family, say, yeah, this thing, if you eat it small, small, it will buy garri and ice fish for 2 weeks. Drive out, so maybe your children chop ice cream. What's wrong with you? Chop now. Chop something good. I hope you're getting my point. I know the money normally will have lasted a week, but there are days that you should just finish it in one day. Just let them eat everything. Let them go out, buy suya, just the chop. You know, chopping is also a form of worship. You don't know that? If you know how to chop properly, I'm not talking useless chopping, like you go for a wedding, you are fasting, you're of the devil. You don't come for a wedding. And they say, well, yeah, I'm fasting, praise God. At my wedding. Nonsense. And you come, you must eat, you must. One day I went to our brother's village in Ozala. I think the brother was very happy. I don't even know where I got the stomach that day from. He brought rice, I ate it. That day my wife was looking at me like, when did you learn to eat abacha like this? He brought abacha, I ate it. He brought more, I ate it. I was wondering, where is this thing going? It was December time. The children had traveled, just my wife and I were just driving around. That day I ate. There was something else I drank. I won't tell you because you now say Pastor Bank said we should be doing it. That day, my wife's jaw opened like, you mean you like abacha like this? I said, me too, I don't know. I was just eating everything. And you know when I was eating it, I wasn't feeling full. It was as if as I go, like they were disappearing to my legs, to my back, to everywhere. They were just feeling everywhere. The guy said, Pastor, do you want more? I said, go and bring more. He brought more. I finished it. Even me, I need that day. No jokes about it. I was anointed to eat. There was an anointing. It was a normal thing. The Lord is good. No, occasionally you should celebrate. All right? I'm not saying that sacrifice really can appear wasteful. It can appear wasteful. When your life is going to be used by God, people will tell you are wasting away. You tell that young man, why didn't you join your colleague in NASA? So when I finished, I found out that they don't teach in NASA. And that I'm gifted to pass this knowledge across. So let me go and make 50 of my types. My desire in life will be, I go back to that university, I should supervise at least 50 PhD projects. That's what Christianity is about. It's about offering yourself as what? A sacrifice. That's what it's about. What faith does is give you the power to lay things down. It takes faith. Without faith, you can't do some of these things. What the natural human mind tells you is that every skill you have must be monetized. Every gift you have must be monetized. But God doesn't say that. As far as it's concerned, the primary thing is that it must be used. That is what faith does. It helps us to offer ourselves as a sacrifice. It helps us to lay down things in worship to the Father. That's what it does. When God, in fact, let's do the particular scripture, all right? James chapter 2. Let's just start with that, or let's continue with that. We read one earlier, that's Hebrews chapter 10. Let's just go to that James chapter 2. Just want to use that. I plan to read it, so, but I just go there. Like I said last time, we'll look at the life of Abraham. What's faith doing? Let me say it again. Faith is bringing what God wrote. There's a scripture in the book of John, chapter 1. He said, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That is an eternal principle. That is an eternal principle. James chapter 2. It's an eternal principle which tells us how we are to live our lives. What God did was to write his plan, write a plan for you. Write something about your life. Say, this is what your life must accomplish. I hope you're getting my point. So it is faith you use to bring it to pass. It does not happen automatically. Please, I need to say that. It doesn't happen automatically. Please, follow our series in the School of Prayer. We've been explaining that when you come to prayer, you don't come empty-handed. Anytime you come to God, you must come with what? An offering. And a sacrifice. And there are three, we said, in prayer, that applies in prayer. Okay, there are some other sacrifices that are not part of prayer. For example, if you give gifts to people, help the gospel and all of that, that's also a sweet-smelling sacrifice acceptable to God. But in prayer, there are just three things to bring, and this is an offering to God. Number one, praise. Number two, and number three, yourself, consecration of your life. You must come to God with that regularly. That must be deliberate. That's what faith is. It must be deliberate. You must come to God regularly and say, look, you will do with me, Lord, that which you propose, that which you determined from the beginning is what I want. You will see, when Elizabeth was talking about Mary, when Mary came to visit, he said, blessed is she that has believed, so that there will be a performance of that which was spoken by the Lord. That is, the faith of Mary was necessary for her destiny to be fulfilled. I pray that God will open your eyes to see these stories in scripture. The Bible is very, very packaged, all right? But if you just follow, especially if you listen to teaching and instruction and meditate on the word, you will see things that are not written so openly, but it's clear inside there. Like I said when we were teaching the other day about it, I said, I don't believe that angel just came to me. You know the way we do it in drama? Mary just there, washing clothes. Hey! Again, angel just, Mary. See, who was that? Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are thou amongst women. That is poetry for children. 2 minutes later, he's gone. No. You know what I think happened? Now, those angels, don't forget. They don't appear like spirits. You can't see. Is there something there? You hear a voice. Is there something there? You can see through him. Then one moment, he's in this part of the room. Next time, he's in this part of the room. That's movies. You want to know what happened to Mary? A man showed up. At least she looked like a man. He looked like a man. And greeted her. And Mary said, what kind of greeting is this? But she noticed, this man looks different. And said, oh, my name is Gabriel. I'm a messenger from God. What is it? You are going to have a child. What are you talking about? You have this conversation. You know I'm not married. I don't know a man. I'm a young girl. He said, don't worry about it. Do you know how Adam came to be? God created him. That God wants to do another creation. And you are part of that assignment. And then she asked questions. And the angel took time to persuade the young woman. He had to build up her faith. I don't know how long they were there. They were in conversation for a while. Finally, she said, okay, sir. Thanks for coming. Do I need to see you off? Now, I added that last part to it. He said, oh, let it be unto me according to your word. I suspect. Now, the other things I said, I'm convinced about. But this one I'm saying, I suspect. I suspect that the angel said, I need to hear these words from you. Told her what to say. You know, God doesn't like surprises. Don't shock him. See, God is going to ask me what I want. I will surprise him. I will say I want wisdom. He doesn't do like that. You know what God does? God will say, Pastor, okay, Muti. No, say, okay, Muti. Say, yes, sir. Go and pastor that girl for me. And then you will join his church. And he will tell you, when God comes to you, tell him, give me wisdom. When he says, what should I ask for? And God said, good, he has done his job. Knowing that you have seen the expo, God will now come. And he wants you to just obey what you were told. That's how the Bible is. When God was saying to Samuel, 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 Samuel one time, Samuel two times, Samuel three times. Finally, Samuel went and said, oh, God, Eli, you are the one calling me. Don't play on my intelligence. I may be a small boy, you are an old man, but now only two of us are here. Aha, Eli now got the point. Say, if he calls you again, and that was the third time, right? Yeah, that third time. Say, if he calls you again, say, he gave him words to say. He gave, you know, Christians, you know, I told the Pentecostals, thank God for the freedom of the Spirit. But in that process, we don't know anything. Yeah. When I tell Christians to pray, sometimes I join prayers sometimes. I'm just tired. Let's pray for Nigeria. So, don't you people even have in mind? Why must everything be speaking in tongues? I come to your prayer meeting, I learn nothing. If you remember, okay. Anyway, there are some people were talking about Pastor Kim to somewhere. They say, I want to like about him that what they learn when he's leading prayer. That when he's leading prayers, that the kind of words he uses, the prayer points he gives, they learn from it. But if he were to come here and say, today we are going to pray for Nigeria. Let's begin to pray for Nigeria. Paul said, how have you been edified? You know, that's what a lot of Pentecostals do. Today we are going to pray about these elections. Everybody pray for the election. The person leading has the microphone and is speaking in Latin. See why he's speaking Latin? It says by the Spirit. He said, bros, do you realize we're in the congregation and I'm supposed to understand? Okay, drop the mic if you want to Latinize this thing. His own is even good. Some will just come, wah, 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 wah. Please, let's stop that. No, I don't think it's good, though. Like Paul said, I thank my God and speak in tongues more than you. I've been speaking in tongues in 1980, I think it's 88. Which year is this? 2023. Go and do the arithmetic. Thank you. 25 years. 35 years. Thank you. So I'm not, some people think that one guy asked in Oka, how come they don't hear us speaking tongues in the kingdom world? If you ask why you don't hear us groan. Because you need to hear us. That's why. You need to hear us. When we are on our individually, we do anything we like. I just feel like by the Spirit wants me to correct this in amongst believers because we are getting to a generation of supposedly hot, dedicated believers who don't know how to pray. So they hide behind speaking in tongues. Paul said, I will pray with my spirit, referring to speaking in other tongues, and I will pray what? With my understanding also. And I'm saying to us, when we are in a congregation, if you are the one leading, the primary way you pray is in such a manner that those who hear you can understand. I hope you're getting my point. That's the primary way. Then next, every Christian should know words to use in prayer. The Holy Spirit is not trying to remove your ability to pray. He wants you to go and learn words to use in prayer. He wants you to learn those words. That's what I was telling you. I was talking about Mary, right? Okay, why her faith is necessary. That God teaches people words to say. Eli gave words to Samuel. When the Lord speaks to you, say this to him. Was an experienced man. God needed to hear that from Samuel to continue the conversation. In the same manner, God needed Gabriel to bring certain words back to him from the mouth of Mary. And I am convinced Gabriel took time out to explain. And I suspect, like I was saying, that he actually gave her those words. Or the Holy Spirit breathed those words into her and she uttered certain words to God. And said, let it be unto me according to your word. And when she went to visit Elizabeth, Elizabeth said, blessed is she that has believed, for there shall be a performance. Do you get my point? Now, if she did not believe, there will have been no performance. That's what we are saying. If what God wants to do in your life will come to pass, there must be faith rising from your heart and confessions from your mouth. We'll talk about that as we go on. The issue of the mouth engagement in faith. There must be words from your heart. Faith rising from your heart. No, manifesting as words for your life to become that which God created it to be. Elizabeth, the same thing. Elizabeth, look, you know, the Bible talks much about the conversation of the angel with Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth. Now, again, just to prove that thing I was saying, that the angel must have spent time with Mary. Do you realize that the conversation written for us in the Bible concerning Zechariah, how long was it? If you act in that school drama, was it more than 2 minutes? Think about it. It's just a few lines. Let's read it so that people will just see it. Luke chapter 1. Now this is where I'm going. You see, I just want to get into the conversation. You go to verse 11. Well, let's start from verse 8. Let's start from verse 8, but I will hasten the reading. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, verse 10, that the whole multitude, says, of people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. Now look at verse 11. And the angel appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel. Fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now the next verse, Zechariah said, how will I know this for certain? I'm an old man. The angel answered, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. Now, if you had to act this, Vine Nation, I'm sure people will finish this one in how many minutes? Maximum. That is the clip we'll watch. This will not be up to 5 minutes. Verse 21. The people were waiting for Zechariah and were wondering at his delay. Is it 5 minutes talk? Did you notice that verse 21? The people were waiting for Zechariah and were wondering at his delay in the temple. The angel kept that guy for a long time. You know why? Zechariah was arguing for a long time. Is it at this age I'll start raising the son? School run at 72. Is an angel. So you walked around the whole of this nation and you couldn't find these young girls. Do you know how old my wife is? This is how people go around from universe to universe causing problems. This is how Satan fell. I didn't say this one. I'm just the one adding all this to it. Gabriel was exasperated. Which kind of stubborn old man are you? They were on this matter, I don't know for how long. They will talk, you know, you read your Bible, people used to argue with God. You know, Moses too did it. He said, go. Moses said, that was when I was young. He said, I'll not be the president of these people. When I was 40, when I was full of energy, you did not come. I am retired. Finally, God got angry with him. He said, okay, fine, no problem. I will go. But, you know, I'm not as eloquent as I used to be. God said, it's all right. Your brother is coming. He'll be your prophet. I have a conviction. Aaron loves to talk. So God said, we'll give him the talking job. And Moses knew that there's no problem. Now, people used to argue with God. Zechariah did that. That's the point I'm trying to make. But God was trying to persuade the people, this is what I want to do. Now, what happened to Zechariah? The angel got tired. Say, for your information, now, many of these things I say is just to teach us spiritual principles. Is that okay? Now, anytime a woman needs to give birth, to conceive, give birth to a special child, her faith was always required. Always. That's why I say, read me in between the lines. You didn't see anywhere that the Bible said the angel visited Elizabeth. I'm convinced the angel did. Because go on Hebrews chapter 11. It said, by faith, they will receive the power to conceive. God was not only working on the faith of Abraham, he was working on the faith of Sarah. But the Bible showed us how he went through the faith of Abraham. But don't ever forget, the faith of Sarah was not lagging behind. Because she needed to receive the power to conceive. Many of us misunderstand their laughter. They were not mockery. They were not at a comedy show laughing at a comedian. When they laughed, it was what they saw was wonderful. It was amazement. It was bubbling over with joy because they were able to see into the spirit concerning what God wanted to do in their lives. They couldn't help the laughter. The Bible says when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, well, like them that dream. What happened next? Then our mouths were filled with laughter. That's why the name of Isaac is what? Laughter. The word Isaac means laughter. Because they said, for God has made me to laugh. The faith of the woman was not lagging behind. The faith of the woman was not lagging behind. God built Elizabeth. I'm convinced also. An angel went to Elizabeth. And because somebody's faith had to work. Zechariah's faith was not working. So they shut his mouth so that he wouldn't, you know, ruin what God was doing. Why the faith of Elizabeth? Because any time a child had to be brought in, the woman had to receive the power to conceive. I have a suspicion that it was Elizabeth the angel went to first. And reluctantly, he went to Zechariah. But he had to. How do I know? I'll tell you. You know all these things I tell you, for your information, it's in the Bible. There's nothing I manufacture. I pick from here and there. This one I just told you. Now, why did I say it? Who did the angel go to first when it came to Samson? It was Manoah's wife. That's why I say what I said. He went to Manoah's wife. Manoah's wife said, okay. Then the husband came back and said, did the man tell you how we are to do? He said, okay, let's pray that God will send him again. Then the angel showed up again. When it comes to conceiving, the woman has to receive the power to conceive by faith. She has to. Now, I'm just doing that to explain to us that that's how our lives are. We have to, by faith, activate that which God wants to do. For that young girl, Mary, which is what went through all of that, to be able to bring forth Jesus Christ, there was work. Somebody, maybe one rabbi, taught her early some things about the work of God. And listen, again, you know, small digression. Anyway, that's why our message is long. It's all the small aside. We some people, that's why they came to hear. You see, all this one I'm saying, he didn't come to hear it. Sometimes you say you are doing an aside, they are happy. They are very, very happy. But some say, do the gospel of aside. It's small, by the way. Where is Dinwoke? Dinwoke will even come and meet me. Say, Pastor, can we write a book on those small things you are saying? I look and say, Dinwoke, you're not serious at all. You want to give me work, Abby? Now, this is the aside. People of God, let me tell you about child upbringing. Children are the heritage of who? They belong to the Lord. They are not your own. They are an assignment. One mistake parents make is that you know he's still small. That's why he doesn't know. I said, that's why you teach him. You don't make excuses for bad behavior using age. People do that a lot of time. I see them, I say, you know he's still small. I said, that's why he needs to be taught. Please, no child is too small to start learning the gospel? None. One major reason why I didn't send any of my children to boarding house, it's not because boarding house is bad. I went to boarding house. It was bad, but... it's because I don't believe you can do a job as good as my wife does and I can do too. I don't believe you can. That's all. I don't believe you love the child enough to teach them righteousness the way I can. I don't. Maybe you can, no. I just don't believe. You know, one thing Pastor Corey's wife said once when it was in Benin at Local Convention. That was the first time I heard that thing. They said when a Muslim, that they live in the north, Sokoto precisely, that when a child is born, usually the grandmother is there. You understand? So they bring the child out. The first thing the child hears, they shout it into the ears. They scream it loud. Allahu Akbar. They turn the second ear. They shout it into it before they return the child to the mother. The first things, I'm telling you. After I heard it, that it's a, they collect the child. This child has been born a few minutes ago. The mother takes the child and screams into both ears. Look, medical science has taught us, matter of fact, children know the voice they hear in the womb. To maintain the health of a child, mothers are encouraged to listen to music, to talk to the child. When you are playing music, the child is hearing it. Please, put music. Don't put it in your earphone. Put it loud. May all of us they hear. When you're pregnant, leave it there. Let the child be here. They can hear. They know the mother's voice. By the time they get into the third trimester, they can recognize the mother's voice. I hope you're getting my point. They, look, and by the way, don't go and be playing rock music for your child. The child will come out on more time. Are you getting my point? As you born that child, let me play satanic music. Or Two-Face will be ministering spirit of immorality to your child. You never born now. One day, Two-Face sang one song. I heard him. That guy knows how to sing. Yeah. So I heard one song he sang. I played it. Now I had to throw it away. Why? Because he kept on telling me, now two cheeks suppose they carry. I said, bros, one cheek is good enough for me. I beg, leave this thing. I love the music, but sadly, we have to part ways. You can't be telling me every time, now two cheeks are supposed they carry. You did, Chris. You can't be pregnant and be telling your baby you are carrying two cheeks. So. That guy will be chasing cheeks from the time he's 2 years old. Because see, and they pursue all the girls in the neighborhood. You won't know that it's two baba. I taught him all the bad things. Please, I mean, collect Nathaniel Bass now they talk. I hope you're getting my point. Choma Jesus, you know, things like that. All these people, you know them very well. There's one that I've been playing in my car. I love that guy. You're amazing, God. That song, yeah. Does it do your stomach like it does mine? Don't sing, your ear. He said, you smile from heaven. We call it rainbow. You are amazing. You know the song? Yeah, the song is lovely. He said, you look from heaven, we call it sunshine. He said, you now made us in your image. You are super amazing. Play that one for your pikin. The boy, the girl is going to come out worshiping. Even the one they born like, because the first cry will be angelic. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. No child is too small to hear the truth of God. Don't worry about whether they understand it or not. For information, they understand. What children understand is amazing. Those days, when Akinle was very small, my wife learned one thing. Initially, because he was very small, she used to entertain him with silly stories. Tulo now pursue kaji, another thing. And the child would be laughing. Little boy. I don't know who now, when she heard the message, and she said, what nonsense am I doing? She stopped the nonsense about kaji and tulo. Started telling stories about Samuel. David.
And of course, the boy still understood it. You know, Goliath was very big. Goliath was very big. Goliath came. He said, I will kill you. And then they'd be like, what? What happened? Then David, now anointing of God, came upon the little boy. Then he took his sling and he hit the giant in the head. The little boy will laugh.
That was how Tolo Tolo and Kaji Kaji left my house. Evil spirits. They now, no, I'm telling you, now replaced with the spirit of God. Mary had to be prepared. That's what I'm saying. Prepare your children for what God wants to do in their lives. Teach them the word of God from the time they are young. Have conversations with the child that can't answer you back. Their spirit, look, you know, the Holy Spirit is wonderful. The Holy Spirit will soak those words, keep them somewhere, and be infusing them at the right time. Telling you, he does that. That's why it's called spirit. The words that I speak, their spirit and their life. You know, most of the foods we eat, I hope you know the taste. Now, what I want to say will sound funny, right? Most of the foods we eat have learned tastes. There are very few foods. Now, the only thing that we want to eat, that we want in life, want, is something that is sweet. It's why children will like sweet things. You know, they give an adult cake, it will scrape away all the fondant, all the icing, remove them away, and eat them as adults. Give a child the cake, it starts from the fondant. And the guy didn't get tired and just whack everything. My God, this is life. Thank God I came to this country. They are feeling very happy. But you know, adults, after a while, you just make up your mind. Now, in case you don't know, one of the reasons why you do that, one, there are many reasons. One of them is that somebody keeps on telling you every day that sugar is bad for you. That's why when I'm soaking garri, I put the sugar of God into it. All this nonsense people say, I don't believe it. I don't believe all that nonsense. They say, sugar is bad for you. I'll be looking at it. How can sugar be bad for me? And they will tell me bitter leaf is good for me. Are you okay? They'll be selling me yo-yo bitters. And if I drink yo-yo bitters, they say, yeah, you're the man. But if I drink sugar, why are you drinking sugar? Ross, because it is sweet. The Bible says, eat honey for it is good. You ever see the Bible say, eat bitter leaf because it is good? We just wake up in the morning. Now, most of the things we love in this life, they are conditioned. That's what I'm making. You heard my story many times. 3 times in my life, I've tried to drink stout. Each time was a progression. First time, I said, let me see. It tasted so awful. I said, maybe I'm too small. Yesterday, I tried again. It was even more awful. I said, maybe I'm not mature enough. And some years ago, I tried it one more time. And I came to the conclusion that the whole world is crazy. And I'm the only normal person. Like those of us who don't drink stout. Why? I can't stop. Yet you see people, they give them an option. From A to Z on a table. Take anything you like. They go for black thing good. You've seen the advert. You remember the advert? They say black thing good. They collect it, they open it, and they will be drinking it and they are happy. And you're looking like, are you a glutton for punishment? Who did you sin against? No, till today I don't get it. Just that one isn't one, another one. Beer is the one I also don't get. That one, I won't tell you what it tastes like. It's a bit funny. We're on the pulpit. I just feel like when you take a bottle of beer, you just want to punish yourself. That, like, for all the sins I've committed, God, let me drink this. Penance. That drinking of these things is penance. Because the wine doesn't have a sweet taste, this guy ain't tasting it. I don't know why I should. So one of my colleagues said to me one day, when I asked him, I said, how do you guys manage? He said, Oga, it's a taste you learn. He said, there's a time, a season for learning it. You didn't learn it at that season. Now, I want to just put my own words. You already learned those things in your teenage years. But my own teenage years was spent in deeper life. And things like that. So in which if you smell it, you are going to hellfire. Do you get my point? So I didn't learn that taste. So now as an adult, you don't need to say, God said, thou shalt not drink beer. I don't want to drink. Please bear things I'm saying in mind. All right? Why am I saying all of these things? The foods children eat, they are taught.
we have to teach. That's how you force them eat this thing. Eat the, after you insist they eat that stuff. After no, first they eat because you are eating it. That's the first thing. Children like to emulate their parents. So they see you mixing one soup and swallow, even though it's onugu soup. You are swallowing and you are looking happy. The child will be looking at you curiously. Then you put in the mouth. Initially, like, this doesn't exactly taste like breast milk. What's going on here? Say, well, since you are enjoying it, now, I'm serious. What I'm saying is not a joke. Since all of you seem to be enjoying it, it must be good. Then they grow up, and then when they are older, when you give them bitter leaf soup, you see the way we lick mouth. My God. Bitter leaf soup? But you like it. Why am I saying all of these things? People, condition your children to enjoy spiritual things. That's it. One of the things I enjoy in my house now, which it gladdens my heart, is I see them walking around with messages playing on their devices. I say, good. It's a habit you must. They have formed the habit. If I laugh at them that they go to an everlasting, the church where the pastor comes, you know, you think I preach for long? You've not heard anything. The church that they attend online, that guy can preach from morning till evening. She beat me after 2 hours, I finished. I'll say, Akilu, you are still in church? Say, yes. I said, Nabe, go and help me do something. You can't divide up and down. I say, it's good. It doesn't have to come naturally. You instill it first by setting an example, all right? And then talk about it. Mary had to be trained one way or the other to give those words to that angel. I believe she had been conditioned from her youth, and then the angel came, sat with her, explained some things, and then she was able to give those words back to the angel. Be it unto me according to your words. And then Jesus was able to come through her. Same with Elizabeth. Elizabeth was trained, was taught. Your destiny will not come. Now, they were taught faith. That's what I'm saying. Say no. Abraham, for Abraham, remember what I said, God gave you to be able to give. I hope you're getting my point. Your life is about giving. Your life is all about giving. This life must be laid down. Sometimes it appears as if it was wasted. Don't worry about it. God knew what he was doing. He gave his first class student with a distinction in masters who did a PhD in one rare part of engineering. He said, come back. Take a job in a small private university. Don't worry, in a few years, I'll make you the head of department. After a while, all they'll make you is professor. It doesn't mean you have money, just title. At least when you go out, they'll call you Professor Chooks, and then you're smiling, meh, meh, meh. He said, good. But in that process, I will make 50, you are going to supervise 50 projects that you will train them to be of international repute. But most important, that's not the main thing. The most important thing is that every student that comes around you, you pour a spirit into them. People think she walk in NASA. I don't think so. That's what God is saying. After all, it's my gift. When Jesus was given that body, a body was prepared for one purpose, that a time will come, you will offer up this body. When God gave Isaac to Abraham, that's the main thing I wanted to teach, all right? But we've said the most important things about it anyway. When God gave Isaac to Abraham, it was so that Abraham will have something to offer. God, that's why he didn't give Abraham Isaac in a hurry. Because Abraham had to be able to offer Isaac. Many people are praying for prosperity. God said, if I give it to you, I will have to judge you. Yeah, because you won't do what I'm saying. Many Christians can only give when you promise them more. If you are still giving like that, you are thoroughly confused. Say, Pastor Banky, it works. It was working till today. God just overlooked the time of your ignorance. God is not giving you money so you can be doing trade-off with him. I give you, multiply it. No. Many people are praying for prosperity because I can't give you yet. Why? I have not built your faith to the level in which you can give it the way I want it used. One of the things I've noticed, no, just by the way, please, let me just beg you. Don't be in a hurry to be praying for money. It brings judgment. Do you hear what I say?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Anything God gives you, you don't use it properly, it brings judgment. Let me say it again. Anything the Lord gives you, and you don't use it the way he says, it brings judgment. Many people are just there, knocking their head every, up and down, looking for money every day. God says, if I give you, you won't use it the way I want you to use it.
He said, so let's do something. Let's be walking together slowly. There's no problem. I will meet your needs. I'll keep on teaching you faith. So that a time will come, money will mean nothing to you. Giving it will not be a problem. I have this conviction in my heart. Why did it take Abraham or take God 25 years to give Isaac to Abraham? It was simply because it took 25 years for Abraham to be able to receive the faith, to have the faith to receive Isaac, which was preparing him for the faith to give up Isaac. If God had given Isaac to Abraham in the first 10 years, maybe the boy would have ended up smoking something and not following the destiny of God for his life. So God said, Abraham, wait. I am going to work on you and prepare you until Isaac can come into your house and you will successfully train him. And I will continue to work on you until you can successfully give Isaac up without wondering what's going on. God doesn't waste time. He uses time. We are the one that waste time. God uses time to train us for the glory. That's what he does. Please, let me beg you. Make sure that every day you are making spiritual advancement. I told my children the other day, I said, listen, before you make any change in your life, before you don't just assume that progress comes automatically because the year is passing. You've heard me now publicly. You are a body given to be given up. I hope you're getting my point. You are an Isaac given to be sacrificed. So God will dress the Isaac, prepare him well. So don't think you're just going to run. You know, some people, some children are waiting for when they will leave home. What are you waiting for? You want to run riot? Just pray to God. He doesn't send me into you into my home. If you have that kind of plan. My wife used to say something that those days. They said she used to prepare for her. You know, when she leaves school, she'll stay on her home. Her own. She would do her house like this. It will look like this. God is looking at that and say, that's your plan. He said, don't worry. It will work. So while she was preparing it, said, Banky, please rescue this girl for me. He said, well, her plans are not good. When I told her to come and marry, she said, you want to spoil my plans? I said, this is the plan of God. That one is your own plan. So you want to finish, you want to be doing big baby. So you can, you know, you go when you like. That was a lie, lie. That's how to miss destiny. Come and marry Banky so you can do something good. You don't know God. Let me just pray for you. May God scatter your plans. Amen. May he establish his own plan in your life. Amen. May he establish his plan in your life. Amen. May you never miss any bit of his plan for you. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I told my children, I said, before your next level comes, come and learn all the word. I give them an assignment. Go and read. Which books did I give you to read? Habit of Faith, Living by Divine Wisdom, How to Walk for God, and Guided by the Spirit, and then Beyond Gifts and Talents, and Somebody's Controlling You. If you don't finish that book, you're going to go. That is, I said, you will read it and summarize it. Oh, yes, because the Bible, and they read most of it before. I said, I don't care what I read, but I said, go and read it again. Give me a summary chapter by chapter so that God can do what he has promised in your life. Is that not what he said? I have chosen him that he will teach his children and his household after him in the will of the Lord how to do righteousness and justice so that he can bring to pass that which he has promised concerning him. You can't make plan to leave house. There's no plan. There's no such plan. There is no such plan. You will learn the word of God. When you enter into ministry, you will preach more than I preached. Do you see any engineer now trying to invent tire? Tires have been... Do you get my logic? You don't reinvent the wheel. They go to another level. So the ministry must go to another level. I don't expect people that I train in the word of God, whether natural children or not, okay? Or then in 10 years, you are still preaching. You can't be preaching better than I preach. That's failure on my part. And your part, to two of us, you're failing people. It's not good. No, sorry. Seriously. Someone like Kennedy Hagin, Sometimes you hear me disagree with some things he says. You've heard, those of you understand. I don't feel, and you know the kind of respect I have for him till tomorrow. I don't feel like I'm better than him. I just feel like he laid a foundation. We have to build on that. If we are still on that level, then we are not giving him the honor that's due. Sir, you taught us this. That is true. We live by it. But then as we were walking by it, the Holy Spirit took us to another level. I will not be ashamed of it. It's God building. You are getting my point? Listen, God trains us to be able to give things. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. The real faith, that's what it does. So before you're able to pour forth your life the way you are supposed to, God has to build it. So God called Abraham. At the age of 75, the training started. And he said to him, maybe we should just look at that quickly and then we'll begin to close. He said to Abraham, leave your father's house. Genesis chapter 12. God did not waste time with Abraham. He was training Abraham. And I'm saying about faith. For us to be able to pour forth that body, that life, as a sacrifice, as a living sacrifice, God trains our faith. So the faith of Abraham began verse 12, in chapter 12 from verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, that was his name, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who help you, who speak well of you, who pray for you, who support your cause. I will bless those who bless you, and will curse, and the one who curses you, I will curse. The one who opposes you, the one who wants to scuttle the plan I have to bless mankind through you. That's why, listen to me. When I was coming to Enugu, people said that, stay amongst your people. I said, who are my people? And you know, till now, just by the way, if you want to offend me, call Tinubu my brother. I don't know, the thing gets on my nerves. Not because he's brother Tinubu. I hope you get my point. Just because he's from Western Nigeria, then that makes him my brother. I asked somebody once. I said, how is he my brother? I just want to know. Please leave this tribalistic mindset offends me. That's just by the way. People say, stay. I say, who's my people? I'm going to Enugu. That's where the Lord sent me to. Through many ways, I found that one out. Told my wife then we just married. Shortly after we married, we were in this city. Less than a year after we married. I said, everywhere I go, I'm covered by a blessing. As a matter of fact, God is blessing those who bless me. Yeah, the promise was to Abraham and to his seed. Not of many, but of one. So I said to people, then listen, I'm blessed of God. Some people are still looking for how to package an offering and send to Jerusalem to support the cause of the Jews. Listen, if you send money like that, expecting a blessing, God will have to punish you. The only thing money should send is to preach the gospel. Because I don't care who you are, you need the gospel. The Jew needs the gospel. If as a Christian you want to give him food and not give him the gospel, you may as well send your money to Udi here. Or G River. Are there not poor people there? Why are you sending across the Atlantic thinking, no, not Atlantic, across the Mediterranean, thinking that across the desert, thinking that will bring you a blessing? It doesn't. The blessing is to Abraham and to his seed. This one I'm making. I said to people, I'm going to Enugu. I'm covered with favor as with a shield. Those who bless me are blessed because I'm a servant of Christ. I'm a son of God because of my faith in Christ Jesus. And look at the opposite. Woe betide the fellow that wants to make my stay in this city difficult. I don't have to pray about you. There is a curse that God has released ahead. I magnify my office. I don't joke about it. What I just need to do is one thing. Just do the one that the Lord said do. If you make yourself my enemy, it would have been better you were not born. Why? It's in the scriptures. Why? Because God has an eternal purpose. Listen, if you are in Christ and you are facing his eternal purpose, this protective, you know, spirit is upon you. Those who show you favor, God will bless them. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, you're a landowner. God is moving in that land, in an area. They want to preach the gospel. Give them the opportunity. Don't, you know, some people say it's church. They have money. You can collect their money, you won't get their blessing. You can collect their money, you won't get their blessing. And listen, not church alone. Anything that looks like God is in. They want to bring your university to your area. And you look at it. Tell your village people, it's not time to be looking for, they have money. Collect this money you are collecting, it will finish. But the blessing you will collect, it can't finish. If somebody who's walking along the path of the Almighty says to you, the Lord go with you, no, your children will still be riding on that blessing. Don't ever forget it. Anyway, so God said this to Abraham, to call him into a training. For time's sake, I'll summarize it, then hopefully we'll continue. Because this faith matter, we can't say it enough. The most important thing we have to do in this season is to strengthen our faith. Because if we do, everything that God has proposed will come to pass now. We'll start seeing miracles on a daily basis. Did you hear what I said? Say amen to that.
Amen.
Please, can I beg you for something? I know the word is working in your life. Please come and be giving me your testimonies. If you don't find me, catch Apostle, give him. Catch any of these people. Tell them the story. See what God did in my life. Because I know the word is working. I know the word is working. Give us those testimonies. Let's share it with people. Because the Bible says concerning the woman with the issue of blood, when she heard of Jesus, her faith was built to a level from testimonies she heard. Stories she heard. Did you hear? Did you know that man? That one that was living two streets away from you? Yes. You know he was born blind? Yes. The man has joined relay race now. He's going for Olympics. How? Olympic for? He said, no, the word of God came to him. Jesus touched him. This is the second time I heard of this Jesus Christ. I heard that there was one man that was lying down before the pool of Siloam. Then she kept on hearing the testimony. Until she heard the full word that built her faith to a level. She said, if I just touch the hem of his garment. Listen, this word that you are hearing will cure you of every affliction in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every single one. And expect it to. You're not coming here to just learn righteousness. You're coming here to receive power. Like I was saying, so what was God doing? He called Abraham and began to strip him of things that would prevent his faith from hitting that level. The first thing he told him of is, leave your father's house. Let me end by explaining something here. Please, some people who hold on to natural heritage, you know, the one that makes me laugh is the one that said that, you know, our African culture. You know me from time. I don't believe in this is our culture. I believe in learning the culture of Christ. I believe in learning the culture of Christ. One man said on Twitter, I said this one, you're not a serious person. He said, I was an Igbo man before I became a Christian. I said, you're not yet a Christian. No, you are not yet. If you're a Christian, there are statements you won't make. You will say, I used to be. And he was trying to say that, look, his culture is more important than what church is saying. The Bible said that they are not servants of Christ. You know, some people, they are just not servants of Christ. They are just not servants of Christ. It's all over the country. One day I saw one man. You know, because I live in Eastern Nigeria, I see all the funny things that we do here. And one day I stumbled into one video. You think it's only Nnamdi Kanu that thinks he's a Jew, have you? I saw some people. They were on one mountain somewhere in Osun or Oyo State. They promised to the Yoruba nation. I said, they are here too. I said, this was all over the place. So. They took, these are Yoruba nation. They carried the tea to the mountain. And one man sat down there. I was telling them the story. They showed the room where Babaola used to pray. And what God said to Babaola about the Yoruba nation. I said, Let me just say something. The only promise God gave your nation is Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
there is no promise he gave any. I don't care which mountain Baba Allah prayed. Or who followed him to pray there. What's the name of your girl? I don't care who prayed. You know, you think people used to say something that used to make me laugh? I hope you don't believe that when they say this. They say that this is the church that God said he will meet on the earth. I said, which God? The normal one, the one that smokes. The normal God doesn't say some things. He said, Pastor, are you sure? I am very sure. He does not recognize any of your denominations.
The only thing he knows is that these people, they do bad things. These people, they do... yeah, no, go and read it. He'll go to the church in Laodicea and say, listen, you think you are rich, but you are very poor. That's the only thing. Just ask. And you know what he used to say? Oh, God, I pray we read the Bible. He said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Every message he gives to any church is for every believer. He said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to all the churches. So you look, where's the Laodicea in my life? If I'm thinking I'm rich, when indeed I'm poor, I quickly disappear that mindset. I should look when Jesus said, I thought I was poor, but I'm rich. Ah, this is wealth. How am I tolerating Jezebel? I need to endure to the end. Don't come and say, join a denomination. Look, if God says that to Parakidayom, you know what he said actually? Preach the truth. This truth you are preaching will establish the church I'm coming to meet on the earth. So even if you're a Christian, say, go and learn that truth from Parakidayom. I hope you're getting my point. If you're a Catholic, learn it from him. Don't form a denomination around your revelation and say, if you don't, I know many crazy denominations. They tell their members, don't go to any other church when you're at home. If there's no branch of our church in your place. See, you want to know the truth? If anybody ever told you that, don't go back to that church next Sunday. They are creating the cult. You say, Pastor Mark, I should tell your pastor that I said that for the next 2 months, you are going to be going from church to church to break that attitude. That's why you believe lies. That's why you believe that your spirit is pure and your body is the one sinning. That's why they can teach that kind of rubbish to you and you will take it. That you can't confess sin, you can only confess Christ. So even if your sin is not used, your body, don't worry, God will punish the body while your spirit is enjoying inside it. The Lord is good. I just wanted to drop that one. Please, let's not get swayed by any sect, no? Any sect being built around us. Whether it's tribal or denominational. They refuse. Refuse. Some of you listen to me today. Here we are in Enugu here. Some of you, you will marry a man from Katsina. Say amen, even if you are married.
Amen.
Say amen for your brother on your side now.
Amen.
Or your sister on your side.
Amen.
Is it you that the way they are tapping you? Some of you young ladies, you go for NYC. It's Ogun State. Your name will be one salami or something. Don't run away. When you are coming back, let him come and see your father. Why are you doing like I must marry from Arundizog? I hope you are getting my point. I finished my message. I'm just gisting. You cannot be building what God is destroying. I will tell you two things God is destroying in Christ Jesus. There are many, but two critical things is destroying in Christ Jesus as far as we are concerned in this nation right now. It's destroying tribalism, tribal divide. Yeah, it's destroying tribal divide.
Amen.
And it's in the church that it's going to be most destroyed. I hope you get my point. If any pastor wants to strengthen it, God will close your ministry.
Amen.
I hope you know God closes ministries. Gave a woman leave the other day from my office. And I said, they were telling me so. I said, you know me for that long? He said, yes, and I used to come to. I said, it's true, I forgot. I said, how's your church now? He said, it don't close. I said, what? He said, it don't close. What happened? Then she told me how they all scattered. Oh, God, if you don't stop that nonsense, God will close your church. And you want another church, God will close. The churches are going to close. All these ones that say, now only us. Once now only us, they do. If you are not with us, you don't know Christ. Oh, God will. And your own is the closing of you will be embarrassing. No, there's normal. This one I told you now, did you know? They just close. It's called. Those of you who understand science, biological science, you'll get my point. It's called apoptosis. They just close. No trouble around. But some things are going to close in a very smelly fashion. All those ones that feel holier than thou. You know, those of you in deeper life, you are blessed. You know why? God, Pastor W.F. Kumi in the last few years, he said, brethren, I'm sorry. I'm not holier than thou. We're all brethren. He said, that turban is non-essential church doctrine. If you want to tie scarf, tie scarf. Did you hear what he said? Some people left the palace because of that.
Salvation came, you are living. See, there are some other churches, they will not agree to do that. You know what happened? 2 generations after, they are gone. Some of your big buildings will become hall for events. Now, warehouse, thank you. Bakery, thank you. We'll be coming there to do event. Now, wedding, even Sunday morning, they'll come and do reception there. They won't even do the church service. They do church service somewhere else and come there to do reception. Why? God said, because you wouldn't hear. You are building what I'm trying to destroy. If you are the pastor of a church, break down those walls by yourself, because Jesus will break it by himself. When God breaks something by himself, it's not nice. Let's give the Lord thanks. We have spoken enough for this morning. Remember, it's about faith. We are not done with it. Our faith must be built up so that our destiny can manifest, so that we can offer ourselves. Without faith, Abraham could not have offered Isaac. Without faith, Abraham could not have offered Isaac. Say, Lord, build my faith this morning. I lay myself down. It's important. You know, when we come to prayer, we offer. We offer. We offer. Offer this morning. Offer the Lord something this morning. And what is the offering? Your body as a living sacrifice. Your body as a living sacrifice. I want you to pray to the Lord. Say, Lord, everything you wrote about my life, help me to offer, to fulfill it. Build me my body up so I can offer it. It's a body you have prepared for me. Whatever way you want to do it, sometimes with academic degrees, sometimes with the experience, different ways God will build it. He said, but it's to be able to be offered. It is so that it may be offered. And say to the Lord, may I not miss the place of my offering? Many of the things you are looking for in life, in the mountain of God, they will be provided. People are looking for provisions where God did not say, this is my mountain of your offering. There are many things you are doing in life. Many of them are just preparation. You think that's where you are going to end? No. You have to go to the mountain of God and be offered there. And in that mountain, God will provide. In the mountain of God, there is provision. In the mountain of God, there is provision. In the mountain of God, there is provision. Pray to the Lord this morning. Say, Lord, may I not miss my mountain? May I not miss my mountain? Lead me to my own Moriah. Let me put my Isaac on your altar. Build my faith so that the release of Isaac will not be a problem. Lord, build my faith so the release of Isaac will not be for me a problem. Lord, that's my prayer this morning. And thank you for the truth you have taught me. These words, let them carry me. The spirit in these words, let them fill me. The spirit in these words, Lord, let them fill me.
Maybe let us conclude with this song. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving as we are living.